After Jason does his special, Brother Renzi will come. I trust everybody knows Brother Renzi. Good to have you back.
It's been too long. The last time he was here was the last time Pastor was out in Chicago, and so it's always a blessing when you're here, brother.
Dreamed I went to heaven, you were there with me. Walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. We turned and saw a young man running. He was smiling as he came. He said, "Friend, you may not know me now." And then he said, "But wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Another man stood before you, and he said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church, and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, no, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, that's why I'm here today. To the Lord, I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." One by one they came, as far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. The little things that you had done, the sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure I saw tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, "My child, look around you. Great is your reward. Changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed.
That one deserves an amen. Amen. I tell you what, I almost feel like we need to close in prayer. It's been very good. Been good spirit this morning in this gathering, the good testimonies. And what a wonderful hymn to close that with, isn't it? And I'll tell you what that song does for me. It does two things. Number one, it makes me to think back on those who've been an influence in my life. Those that I can thank God who taught Sunday school. You know, I got saved when I was about 10 years old. And as he was singing that hymn or that song, I was thinking about some people now in their 70s who I think back then, you know, were just a little bit older and just teaching classes, putting up with aggravating kids sometimes, you know. If you've taught Sunday school, you understand that. In fact, I was one of the aggravating kids, and they put up with me. And so to me, that song, it makes me think back and appreciate those who did something in the local church to make a difference in my heart and life. And, you know, the thing is, when you sow seeds, you don't see it automatically. You know, they're teaching these children, and right now they're sowing the seeds and they're watering the seeds, and you might not see tomorrow, you know, some crop, if you will, but you don't know what in the world that seed is going to do futuristically. Amen. And so that song just makes me think back on what others have done for me, but it also challenges me. What am I doing for somebody else now? Amen. I can't just sit on my blessed assurance and just thank God for everybody who gave up something for my benefit. I now have to say, what do I need to give up for the benefit of somebody else? You know, my father-in-law is the pastor of Bethel Baptist Church, and he's the one who helped me as a kid, you know, after getting saved and as a teenager through some rebellious situations. And he really helped me and took me in and really just worked with me. And I think back and I thank God. And he was almost 70 years old now, but I thank God he sacrificed for me. He had eight kids. And he sacrificed and he gave up something so that I could get where I am. And God helped me to do something for somebody else and to help them to get where God wants them to go. Amen. I'll tell you what. I don't know. I'm going to see. We're going to see what happens this morning. Amen. I don't want to ruin the spirit. I mean, you know, thank God. I'm not stepping up here thinking, well, I'm going to enhance it. And I'm going to make the difference. You know, God help me. I don't want to ruin anything. Amen. I heard of a story where a preacher, man, he just kind of skipped up to the pulpit and he just flatlined. And he went down and he got down to the bottom, and some lady went up to him and said, son, if you would have went up the way you came down, you would have came down the way you went up. Amen. I want to speak a little bit this morning. And by the way, I cannot be long. With the smell that's coming up through the door right here. And they've actually put a fan right there to blow it in. Would you turn to 2 Peter chapter number 3, please? 2 Peter chapter number 3. I'm going to run a special on my message. I'm going to cut a lot of it out this morning. I've learned one thing. I write, by the way, personally, I write a lot of things down in my messages, but I don't always have to say everything I write down. One thing you learn is you try to go with the flow, amen, as the Lord is leading. And there are times I'll cut one thing and just kind of get through it. And I do want to say this, you know, Pastor, congratulations. 40 years. That's a long time for a church to exist, number one, and for the pastor to be there all the same time. Very, 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 very wonderful. And your family as well. And then the people of this church. Amen. God has been very good to you. And then to hear the testimonies of this church would not have the room for the people that are in heaven and that have also had to move on for other reasons. Amen. You've made a difference in people's lives. This church, this lighthouse has made a difference in this community over 40 years. Amen. And that song is appropriate even for the preacher. For giving his life to the Lord to serve and to plant something in this community to make the difference in the lives of others. Amen. I think today definitely needs to be a day, and it's already been a day of looking back. Looking back, just thanking God for what he hath wrought. Amen. That's what Paul did after his missionary journeys. He would come back to the local church and just say, let me tell you what God hath wrought. Amen. God used us to do something, and we thank God for it. And it's wonderful. But I don't think that the day needs to only be spent on looking back, because God ain't done yet. Amen. I think we need, that's why I think we got two eyes. And with one of them, maybe we glance back and thank God, but we got the future as well. I couldn't think of it. I heard a preacher preach one time at a conference, and I couldn't remember exactly where the verse was at, but I know it was speaking about Joshua and some others in there. When they conquer the land, God said there's still yet more land to conquer. Amen. It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. And so I think a celebration, yes, of what God did looking back, but also a challenge of, hey, let's get going and let's see what God's going to do. Amen. Let's keep a good balance. Amen. I can't see the people giving testimonies because I don't want to turn my neck that much around. I'm not an owl. But anyway, I heard one of the testimonies. They said when I was a young, growing Christian, and then they gave testimony. And I thought to myself, right now, you're a little bit older growing Christian, I hope. I won't say an old growing Christian, amen. You understand that. You say, what do you mean by that? Listen, we've all gone through a lot of growth as in the past, is that correct? But there's still more growing to do, isn't there? You know, we are not there yet, amen. And we're not going to get there until we're there, amen. But I want to speak to you a little bit about spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, amen. You see, I have no idea why the Lord would give me this message, be honest with you. But the fact of the matter is, we need to keep on growing for the Lord, amen. Keep on going, yes, keep on going, year after year, 40 years. But as you're going, keep growing. Keep growing. Why? Because if we don't keep growing, we'll have nothing to give to the young ones that need to start growing. Amen. Which are the future of the church. I want to talk to you about growing. Concerning spiritual growth, there are three things I want us to note. I'm going to give you a three-point message, three simple points about spiritual growth that I pray would be a challenge and also a comfort as well. And in a moment, we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter number 3, and we're going to look at verse number 18. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, as we gather, we thank and praise you for the preacher. We thank you for his family. We thank you for this church. We thank you for what you've done over the last 40 years. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Lord, we know and understand without you, nothing can be done. Nothing can be accomplished. And all glory goes to thee, we know. But we thank those that you've used to make a difference in our lives, in the lives of the people of this community. But Father, we understand you're not done yet. And we're thankful for that because we have something to look forward to. Not only do we look forward to your coming, but we look forward to what you're going to do until you come, as we're to occupy until then. I do pray, dear Father, that you'll just be with the preacher and his family, be with his health, Lord. Please continue to give him good health and strengthen him, Lord, that he might do the things you want him to do, and bless this church in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you 3 points, if I can, this morning on spiritual growth. Number one, I want you to know three things. Number one, I want you to know what I'm going to call the mandate. The mandate. You and I, through the scriptures, are mandated to grow. Amen? Look with me, if you would, please, in 2 Peter chapter 3. Would you look at verse number 18? The Bible says, but grow in grace. And by the way, in the context, it comes on the heels of verse number 17, talking about don't fall from your steadfastness. By the grace of God, for 40 years, you've been steadfast as a church. Keep on being steadfast. Amen? Well, if you're going to keep on being steadfast, you got to keep growing in the Lord. Too many churches die off because they stop growing. Amen? And so he says in verse number 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then listen, there's two sermons right there in that verse. The fact that we need to grow in grace is one sermon. And then the fact that we need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is another sermon. We ought to be growing and knowing Him. Amen? When we first get saved, we pretty much know Him as our Savior. But man, we need to get to know Him better. I can't help of what Paul the Apostle said in Philippians chapter number 3. He said that I may know Him. Now in verses 1 to 9 of that chapter, he got to know Him as Savior. But after that, he said, I want to know Him a lot better. Amen? In fact, I think of what Jesus said. I think of one of the things about knowing Him is you definitely got to get in the book. In Sunday school, the preacher focused in great measure on the fact that if you get Jesus right, you get it all right. Here's why. Every cult doesn't get Jesus right. You can always tell when they don't get Jesus right, you don't get salvation right. Book of Colossians emphasizes that. Amen. You got to get Jesus right. And this book right here is something we need to get into that we might learn about Jesus. More about Jesus would I know. Amen. More of His grace to others show. We need to get in the book. But here's another thing we got to do. We got to get close to the Lord. In the book of Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28 to verse number 30, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me. You get close to Him by yoking up with Him. And when you get close to Him, He teaches you of Him. Learn of me. And when you learn of Him, you as a result of that, find yourself resting in His meekness and humbleness. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? We need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We got to get to know Him better and better and better and better. Bible says in the Psalms 9, I think it is, they that know thy name shall put their trust in thee. Amen? Oh, that we might know Him. But not only that, I don't want to focus on that. But listen, we need to grow in grace. We need to grow in grace. Let me just say this. Saving grace is where we all start. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, you know it. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We know what saving grace is. Saving grace is the gift of God, which is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. When a person acknowledges they're a sinner, condemned, if you will, headed for judgment, but they realize according to the gospel, Jesus died, was buried, rose for them, they can accept Him as their personal Savior, and He gives them gift. He gives them grace in order to be saved. Amen? And I don't doubt that most of us, if not all of us, have experienced the saving grace of God because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Amen? But by the way, saving grace is where we start. There's more grace that God has. Amen? The Bible says this in different places. By the way, God has more grace than saving grace. John 1, 14, the Bible says Jesus was full of glory and full of what? Grace. And in John 1, 16, that they said, we have all received of His fullness grace for grace. You know what that means? Grace on top of grace. There's not only a saving grace that God has for us, there's all kinds of grace that God has for us. Amen? We need to grow in the grace of God. Stepping into saving grace is wonderful, but we need to go further than that. Amen? There's a grace that God has for us that's even more. In fact, not only is there more grace, and by the way, James 4:6 talks about that. He giveth more grace. Amen? Not only does God have more grace, God has different, God has grace for different things. In 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 10, the Bible says, the manifold grace of God, multicolored, many different kinds of grace. It's the same grace, but it's grace that does something for different situations. Amen? We need to grow in grace. There's not only a saving grace. Listen, there's a sanctifying grace. There's a grace that says, not only will I cleanse you, that saving grace, there's a grace or a help from God where God says, I'll change you. In Titus chapter number 2, verse number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. But this grace does more than save. Verse number 12 says, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly and godly in this wicked world. There's a help from God for the child of God to get through this world without getting into the world. Amen? To help us to live right. There's a sanctifying grace. Here's another one for you. There's a serving grace. In Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 28, it says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God with reverence and godly fear. Amen? And saving grace is not enough. We need God's help to be different. We need God's help to serve. There's a suffering grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, you know, Paul said that God allowed him to have a thorn in the flesh that would humble him because of what God had done for him. And three times Paul prayed that God might remove this. And God said, no, I'm not going to remove the situation, but I'm going to give you what you need to get through your suffering. My grace. It's sufficient for you. Amen? And by the way, when I think of suffering grace, I can't help but think about singing grace. You say, what grace is that? That's the grace that gives you the opportunity to sing when you're suffering. You see, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's the song in the night that only God can give. It's the Silas and Paul at midnight in prison, in stocks, singing and praising God. It takes grace for that. Amen? We need to grow in grace. We get in that salvation. We get in that saving grace. But God's got more help for us. When I think of the word grace, if I can put it in a nutshell, I think of the word help. Because that's exactly what the grace of God is. In reference to salvation, it's the gift of God. In reference to grace for everything else, it's the help of God. Amen? We need His help to grow. Can't grow without it. Amen? Apart from saving grace, there's a sanctifying grace, there's a serving grace, there's a suffering grace, and I said a singing grace, but let me say this, in case you misunderstood, I did not say a sinning grace. Now there's a grace after you've sinned, because when sin abounds, grace, thank God, much more abounds. But I'm not talking about what? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. There are ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Well, God's gracious, I'll just go ahead and use it and live like, well, no, that's not what God meant. Amen? We need to grow in grace. And I won't get into it, but there's a supplying grace. You can read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. They were gathering funds for the poor church in Jerusalem. And Paul said, listen, this is a grace that you can give, and you can grow in this grace, and God can make all grace abound toward you. God graciously supplies our needs. Amen? We need to grow in grace. I need to grow in grace. Amen? Being saved is not enough. Being saved is wonderful. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can never lose it. But too many in this day and age are getting saved and that's it. They're not allowing the help of God. They're not allowing the grace of God to take them where they were to where He wants them to be, which is always growth. Amen? What is Paul's testimony if you think about 1 Corinthians 15:10? Paul said this, listen, I am what I am by the grace of God. And in the context, he's not necessarily saying I'm only saved because of the grace of God. No. I'm an apostle. I'm serving. I'm suffering. I'm going through all that I'm going through because of the grace of God. Let me put it to you this way. I think it's Acts chapter 22, maybe verse number 6. Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Paul the Apostle knew, or Acts 26, Paul the Apostle knew if it wasn't for God's grace, if it wasn't for God's help, he could have never made it to where he was at. Amen? We need to grow in grace. I think about what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:13. He talked about a grace that is to come. Think about this. God's grace today for Christians is helping us through. But when he comes, he's bringing a grace that's going to help us out. You think about that. We're getting out of here. Amen. Talking about the right. Amen. Until, listen, what we have to go through, and some even more so, what we have to go through as believers in this life, we need God's help on a daily basis to get us through. But when he comes, he's bringing a grace that's going to get us out. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen. Hey, help is on the way. Help is on the way. Amen. Let me just tell you three things about grace here. Grace is something we need to pray for. In Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now watch this. The Hebrew believers were struggling. They were suffering. They were tempted to quit. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, man, hold on to your testimony. Hold on. Don't quit. Don't give in. By the way, there's help for you to keep on keeping on. It's in Jesus who lives to help you. He's not, but come boldly unto the throne of grace. Is he telling them to get saved again? No. Saving grace is done. As a Christian, there's a grace, that there's a help that you might find help in a time of need, in the nick of time. Amen. Oh, if it wasn't for the help of God, I wouldn't be where I am. Amen. And I hope you understand you wouldn't be where you are neither. Amen. Listen, grace is something we need to pray for. We need to go to God for. Amen. Lord, I need your help to get through this. Amen. And if we go to him and connect with him, he'll give us what we need to get through. Amen. Grace is not just something we need to pray for. Let me give you this thought. It's something we need to look for. You ever pray for something and look for something? I think it was the last time I was here, the brother who leads the singing, I think it might have been him, used some kind of illustration about a man praying for, a drowning man praying for God to send help. And a boat comes by and he says, Lord, it's not that one. Lord, help me, help me. Another boat comes by. Praying for some help from drowning, and boats are coming by. And that's not, I don't think that's the one the Lord's going to use to help me. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Let me give it to you this way. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Listen, again, the book of Hebrews, struggling people. You can be in such a situation where you're praying and looking for, praying for God's help. If you're praying for it, look for it. Look real diligently for it. It's there somewhere. Look for it. Amen. Grace is something, and I'm not talking about saving grace, although you need to pray for saving grace. You understand that. We're talking Christians, right? We need to be praying for God's grace. We need to be looking for God's grace, looking for God's help. But here's another thing I want you to get. Grace is something we need to be living for. We need to be living for it. Sometimes I hate to talk like this because some people get confused, and I don't want to confuse anybody. We're not talking about saving grace, folks. Saving grace, it's nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. I understand that. But as a Christian, I need to live my life for the grace of God, for the help of God. I want you to get this. We're near Peter, right? Turn to 1 Peter chapter number 5, please. What am I doing? I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to help you to say, listen, we look back and thank God for what he's done, but now we got to also look forward and say, okay, I want to make sure I'm growing so that when God wants to do something, he's got me to use. Amen? By the way, you don't get children to run the nursery. Is that correct? God don't get children to help children. Somebody's got to be grown up to help children. Amen? And the future is children. Amen? But God uses the fathers to help the children. Amen? And by the way, growing toward fatherhood is what we need to be doing as a church. We get saved, we get born again by the seed of the Word of God. We feast on the Word of God to grow. We become children, 1 John chapter. Then we become young men, then we become fathers. Amen? That's the growth process. And the fathers of the church, to me, are the pillars of the church. I did a funeral for a man who was a song leader for probably 30 years at our home church. And when he passed away, one of the things I was able to say was, look, one of the pillars are gone. And I looked around and said, who's going to take his place? It takes pillars to hold up a building. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Listen, let me tell you what's happening in churches today. And I don't find that here. You're one of the rare exceptions. Children are starting to run the churches. They might not be children in the sense that they're 30 or 40 years old, but they're immature Christians. They're running the church. Could you imagine the toddlers running the nursery for the infants? Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. We got to grow. We got to grow. Amen. All right. I got somebody objecting to that. Now I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter number 5. Would you look at verse number 5 and 6? Listen, we need to live in a place where God can help us. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Look at verse number 5 and 6. The Bible says this. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And this is the church context. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with what? Humility. Why? For God resisteth the proud. And he gives what? Grace or help to who? The humble. He's not talking to unsaved people. In the church, be united. Be united. Submit to one another. Be united. But it takes humility to do that. Pride divides. Humbly unite together. Why? If you're not going to be humble, God's not going to give you the grace you need. I'm only being honest with you. Yeah, God will not give you the grace you need if you ain't living for it. And I ain't living for it. Amen? We need to live for it. Look at verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We need to be living for it. Let me say this before I move on. Catholics concern themselves with dying in a state of grace. Any former Catholics? You understand one of the most important things as a Catholic. You can be the devil up to the deathbed. As long as you die in a state of grace, you get your last rites and everything else. Right? Right? They concern themselves. That's their concern. I just hope I die in a state of grace. Those of us that are saved, we don't have that concern. Amen. Once we're saved by the grace of God, we're in a salvation state of grace. We'll never get out. I'll tell you what our concern ought to be. Living in a state of grace. Living in his good graces would be appropriate. Amen? Some of you say, I don't believe it. I don't buy it. What is living in a state of grace as a Christian? Watch this. It's living in such a way so as not to hinder the help of heaven. Can I give it to you in a song form? Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Nothing preventing the least of his. Could we substitute favor for grace? I think we can. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. I find people that say it's hard to try to live right and just stay in God's favor until somebody they love ends up in the hospital. Then all of a sudden it becomes easier. You understand that? Why? At times it's not important. But all of a sudden I need to be on praying ground when that becomes important. Amen? Number one, listen, spiritual growth has a mandate. Let me give you a second thought. And that was the longest point. So I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter number 2, please. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I heard there's hot dogs downstairs, so me and the kids are going to be fighting over them. So I love hot dogs. I was telling the preacher, ketchup, white, yellow mustard, and raw onions. Okay, I just lost people there. You're probably with the preacher on the relish thing, but I don't do that. Anyway, 1 Peter chapter number 2. Let me get a second. So number one, listen, spiritual growth is a mandate. Listen, God wants us to grow. Amen? He wants us to grow, listen, for our benefit, but he also wants us to grow for the benefit of those that we can help. Amen? Those of us who have children understand our children want to help us all the time when they're this big. Oh, I want to carry that for you, and I want to move this, and I want to... They want to help us real bad when they really can't. Can I get a witness on that one? I got a 21-year-old, or who's going to be 21, and I got a 17-year-old, and they don't want to help me take the trash out now. They couldn't wait. They were eager. They were in my way when I was doing it when they were young, but now they're... Can I get... Amen. Yeah, now that they're mature enough and strong enough to help, they don't want to. You ever find new Christians want to do it all? And then some of the old foolish kings don't want to be instructed no more. They know it all. Let me give you a second thought. Listen, spiritual growth has a mandate. Number two, spiritual growth has a means. Has a means. God will never tell us to do something without telling us how it can be done. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 2. 1 Peter 2, 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Here it is. That you may grow thereby. Amen. God says, listen, I want you to grow. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a bottle. That you're going to feast on for a while. And then all of a sudden the bottle's going to turn into meat. Amen. You can't live on a bottle all your days. If you're still on a bottle and you're not a baby, you got issues. Can I get a witness on that one? Milk is where we start. After you start to take that milk in and it doesn't become enough, then you start to get some solid food. Amen? As spiritual babies, we pick up all the milky stuff, all the just a basic doctrine. But after a while, we start to have a hunger in our soul where this milk ain't enough. I need meat. I want meat. I don't want to be like where Paul said, I couldn't give you meat because you're just immature and carnal, like he said to the Corinthians. Amen? He said, meat belongs to them that are of full age, mature. Amen? Even those who by reason of use and so on, you know. The word of God is the means of spiritual growth. In Acts chapter number 20, verse number 32, Paul said to the Ephesian elders, he said, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. You're in a good church to hear a good word. Just sitting in here on Sunday, and I've heard some messages on the preacher online. I got on there and listened. You're hearing some good stuff. You have a great potential of growing in the word of God in this place. Some churches ain't putting it out. And therefore the people ain't growing. Amen? But you get the good stuff. Thank God for it and enjoy it. Amen? A lot of Christians aren't growing anymore because they're not hungering anymore. As newborn babes, desire. That's the key. Desire the sincere milk of the word. I'll tell you, in our day and age, too many Christians are being filled with the world. And they're losing their appetite for the word. A full soul loatheth a honeycomb. Amen? When you're full, you don't want nothing more to eat. And too many people are getting filled up on the junk of the world. And then they come to church and they got a bellyache of what they're hearing. Amen? There's a means. Let me make a statement here. And would you turn to the book of Ephesians with me? And I'm coming down. Ephesians chapter number 2. I'm speaking in like airplane terms because we're near the Lehigh Valley Airport. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter number 4, please? My father-in-law used to say, I'm circling right now. I'm looking for a runway. Amen? Ephesians chapter number 4. There's a mandate to spiritual growth. There's a means to spiritual growth. Amen. The word of God will help us. God's word may be the primary means of spiritual growth, but I want you to get this. I believe that God's house is the primary place of spiritual growth. God's word is the primary means of spiritual growth, and God's house, the local church, is the primary place of spiritual growth. You got people thinking, well, I don't need the local church. Like you were talking this morning, I'm going to do my own little Bible study. Well, that's where all kinds of crazy doctrines come out of. The people that don't need God's program, I can do my own thing at the kitchen table. They never grow. They never grow. Amen? Because they won't humble themselves and submit to God's plan. Amen? Listen to me. Let me give you this. All the ingredients for growth can be found in God's church, the local church. We find that in Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 11 to 6. All the ingredients for growth can be found, if you will, in the church, in the house of God. Let me be not in the text, but I'll say this. One of the most important parts of the growth is the Holy Spirit. And he's in the local church when we gather. Amen? But apart from that, look at Ephesians 4, look at verse number 11. And he, referring to Jesus, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What he did was he gave the foundation and he gave the furtherance of the local church right there. This is what Jesus did. It's his gift to the church. These gifted individuals. Look at verse number 12. And by the way, there it is. Let me just say this. The man of God is one of the ingredients for growth. The man of God. God gives the church a gifted man for the growth and for the benefit of the local church. Amen? You say, where do you find that at? I find it in verse number 11, which I just read. But look at verse number 12. Why did God give these individuals? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body. The perfecting of the saints. That's growth. Amen? God has given what is necessary in the local church, the Spirit of God, the man of God, and the Word of God. Amen? Look at verse number, let's continue on. Verse number 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. You got the faith. You got knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse number 14, why did he give these men to this? That we henceforth be no more what? Children. God gave the man of God, the Word of God, to the church of God, that the church might mature and grow and be no more children. Mature. Look at verse number 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking what? The truth. There's the Word of God in love. May do what? May grow up into him in all things and so on. By the way, guess what else? All the ingredients for growth are in the local church. You got the Spirit of God. You got the man of God. You got the Word of God. Now here's another thing a lot of people overlook. You got the people of God. You got the people of God. You know, it's not just the man of God that's going to make a difference in your life in this congregation. Somebody around you. That person teaching Sunday school. That person speaking to the person next to them, giving them an encouraging word at the time they need it. I cannot go over in the New Testament, especially in the context of the church, where the term one another is used over and over and over and over. Provoke one another to love and good works, not forsaking the assembly. Some people say, well, I'm already there. I don't need people to help me. I understand that. Why don't you come to church and help somebody else then? Amen. Look at verse number 16 of Ephesians 6. I'm sorry, Ephesians number 14, number 4, verse number 16. From whom the whole body, get this, fitly joined, what's the next word? Together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure in what? Every part maketh increase of the body. Now get the last statement. Unto the edifying of what? Itself. You and I are to love one another, help one another, encourage one another, exhort one another. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Look at verse 29 of chapter 4, Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying, that they may minister grace unto the hearer. It's the context of the local church. Speak words to each other that'll build each other up. We need each other. As Jesus was leaving this earth, he said to the disciples, let me tell you something. You need to love one another. The world don't love you and it's not going to love you. You have each other. You need each other. Love one another. Amen. You cannot neglect God's house and grow spiritually. They that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Psalm 92. You know why a lot of Christians ain't growing? They're not planted. You know what they are? Potted. You know what a potted plant is? it comes in its own little thing, and it sits there and says, I'm not joining your soil. Usually that pot, they're easy to move, by the way. Offend them a little bit, they're potted down the street now. Then they're potted over here now. You run into them and say, where you potted now? Can I get a witness? They won't come out of the pot. You can't grow in a pot. They won't come out and get planted in good, godly soil where their roots can get down and where they can go up. Amen? I'm going to quit. It's over. I'm giving you the last point and I'm done. Oh, by the way, let me encourage you. If you're staying around to fellowship and you're able to come to the last service, it's not a full-length message. It's just a few words of encouragement, so it's not okay. Just encourage you on that one. Let me give you the last point. I'm going to quit. Number one, spiritual growth, we have a mandate. Number two, we have a means. Amen. Number three, we have a measure. A measure. Spiritual growth has a measure. How do I know I'm growing? I by the way, I will say this. You'll never know you have grown in the sense that you're done. You're not going to get full grown. But you ought to be growing more and more. Amen? Would you look with me for a moment? We're already in Ephesians, is that correct? Would you look at verse number 13 and verse number 15? Again, the context is the local church in the book of Ephesians, right? Because it talks about a body, it talks about a bride, it talks about a building. It's all got to do with the local church. Now watch what he says in this where the man of God takes the word of God and by the Spirit of God and the people of God helping one another. Here's what the whole goal is. The measure, if you will, of growth is this. Look at verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Watch this. Look at another verse. Look at verse number 15. Here it says it, I think, even more simple. Verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him.
Amen.
He's the measure. People were saying things earlier. Oh, to be like him. That was a little theme I picked up and I said, okay, this is it. God plants Christians in his house, gives them a preacher, gives them the word, gives them the Spirit, gives them each other, and says, here's the goal. Let's grow to become more like the Master I would ever be. More of his meekness, more humility, amen? More zeal to labor, more courage to be true, amen? All of it. Christ-likeness is the key to maturity and growth. When I compare myself to him, I got to grow. I got room. We all got room. Amen. Hey, listen, if Paul the apostle could say, I've not attained, I'm not there yet. But he didn't say, I'm not there. I haven't attained. Woe is me. I'm quitting. I'm done. He said, no. But I follow after. I'm not everything I ought to be. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm nowhere near what I ought to be. But I follow after. I keep on moving forward and just trying to grow. Amen. That's all we can do. Let me say this in closing. God's house is the place where God's Spirit uses God's man, God's word, and God's people to encourage us by God's grace to become more like God's Son. And that's what it's all about. We look back and we thank God for what he has done, but we don't get complacent. We say, Lord, we want to grow and be ready for what you want to do. Amen? And may God help us to get to that place. Would you pray with me as the preacher comes? Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for, again, looking back at what you have done. And we are thankful and we are grateful that you are so good and merciful to us, Lord. It's your gentleness that makes us great. Lord, if you didn't put up with us, oh, if you'd have marked iniquity, who would stand? Thank you for allowing us to get to this place. We look back and we thank you, but we also got to look forward, Lord. We want to be ready for what you're going to do, what you want to do. Help us to grow. Help us to grow more. Lord, we all have room to grow. Help us to all just take the mandate, get into the means, Lord, and always keep the measure in mind. When we compare ourselves with others, we might think we're there, but oh, when we compare ourselves with thee, we understand we got more room to go. Dear God in heaven, please help us, and I pray your blessing on everything as the preacher comes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take our hymn books and turn it over. Same thing.
same song. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. And I say, let's make it a prayer of our heart. Oh, to be like thee, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you have a celebration like this, sometimes we get to be thinking about ourselves and about our preacher and everything else, but you know what? It's got to be Jesus. It's got to be the Lord Jesus Christ that everything we do, the ultimate goal is to be like Jesus. So would you stand with me and sing this song together? If you need help to get saved, step out and meet in the front. We'll have someone to help you get saved. But Christians, make it a prayer in your heart. Right here. So I know it's a song, but it's kind of like a prayer, too. Right? Yeah. So let's sing.
Yeah.
when you go up under the pulpit, there's a box in there. Would you get that box and bring it down here for me? And then I need a man on this side to pass some things out. Who will do that on this side? All right, Jim, I'm a man on this side. Who will do that for me? Man on this side. All right, Joe, good. Yeah. Come on up here, you guys. I got something for you as a memorial for our 40th anniversary here. First of all, we're good at doing bookmarks. But it's been a while since we've done a bookmark. So I got 100 of them here. I think that's enough. There you go. Give one to everybody, children, everybody. Everybody have one. You'll see it says on there, 40th anniversary for the church. It also has on there where the Bible is explained verse by verse. And that's what we've been doing for 40 years. And God has been really good to us. So use that as a marker in your Bible as we go from one to another. By the way, on the back table next to the sound system is a photo album. And if you want to see all the highly collectible, highly desired ribbons, they're worth a lot of money out there in the eBay world. The ribbons from Ray Street Baptist. You can see all the ribbons that we've done over the years back there in that book. All right, so y'all got one of those. And got something else for you. Something else that you might say, well, I can't use a ribbon. All right, well, maybe you can use one of these. All right, and I don't really know quite how to do this. We have different colors of key ring. You can take the key ring off. You don't want that on there, but this is a little flashlight. Like that, you know. And I like this. It's not round. The round ones, you put it on the table and roll off. Yeah, this is a foot. And you can put it on that way, you know, if you're working at something. You can put it flat like that. It also has Ray Street Baptist Church, February 1st, 1976 through February 1st, 2016, 40th church anniversary with our website on there as well. So we have different colors. And I think what I'll do is I'll just put these bags up here for you too. And I want you all to take one, okay? There's more than enough here. We've got a nice blue one. You can take a look at it. They're all in boxes here. And on your way down to get something to eat, you can do this. All right. Let's see. I wanted to tell you that Sam is not feeling well. That's why he's not here today. I forgot to make mention of that. I thought there was something else I wanted to say. Last Pastor Pirelli, I told him about that in Sunday school. Oh, I know. There's something else I wanted to do. Yeah. Here it is here. As you know, my dad ministered here with me, alongside of me for many, many years. He sends this along with my mom and my sister Beth. Dear Pastor Gary and church family, we want to extend congratulations to Pastor Gary and the people of Ray Street Baptist Church. Together, you have reached a great milestone in the presentation of the gospel of Christ. We were blessed to have had a part in that work for 22 years. The church has stood strong in the battle for the word of God for 40 years. Every time we return to visit, we are warmed by finding the same preacher and the friends we have loved for many years. We listen frequently to the services online and often sing along with the congregation. There are people here in Illinois who listen and enjoy the messages online. We remember well the first service at the storefront in Bethlehem. We pray that Pastor Gary and Donna will have many more years of ministry at Ray Street Baptist Church. We look forward to the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture of His church. We will pray for the continuing ministry of the church. May God bless your services Sunday as you celebrate what God has done. We love you all in Christ, Paul, Betty, and Beth. All right. Wow. Good message. Right along with some of the things we've been talking about, singing about. Have you ever noticed how things kind of go like this in a church service? It fits just right. It's not, you know, all over the place or anything. That it's the Lord just somehow brings things together in just a marvelous, wonderful way. I think it's very interesting to see that happen.
I tell you what, we believers have something that this whole world don't know anything about. They don't have the foggiest idea what it's like to be a Christian in God's care and in His church and His fellowship with saints and everything. It is a wonderful thing. All right, well, I'm going to get all started with that. So, we got it all set up down there. There's decorations down there. There's lots of food down there. I'm going to show some video while you're eating down there. And I think that's all that I have to say to you. When we're done eating at a certain time, we'll come back up here. We'll have a good song service. We'll get the guitar. I have the accordion out. We'll have some singing going on. And then we'll have that real short sermon that you talked about. Let's have a word of prayer right now. Thank the Lord for the food. And let's see. Oh, okay. I get to do that. I get one of Caleb. You want to say thank the Lord? Right on up here. Well, thank the Lord for the food and thank you for the hands that have prepared it. You know, these little hands that you have. Thank the Lord for the food that we're about to eat in our fellowship together. Go ahead, real loud. Amen.